Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Looking for an outlet, does, gets it to the point. Far side, Chara closing in, scores!
Well, it's a great style. It's an impressive style. The Maple Leafs are buying into Mike Babcock's defensive system. But night in, night out, you can't get away with scoring late like they did the other night with Nazem Kadri. And tonight, it is Zdeno Chara late in the third period that scores the game winner. An empty net goal added by the Boston Bruins, and that is all she wrote, a 2-0 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs, who welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And as we've done, we've had some pretty spirited phone calls the last couple of Toronto Maple Leaf games, and despite the loss tonight, we still open the phone lines, 870-590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Get you to weigh in the weekend that was, the game that was. We'll hear from head coach Mike Babcock in a few minutes' time, many of the other principals involved in tonight's game. But Todd, like we said, same, but the ending different.
Yeah, they played with fire a little bit too long tonight. They were playing a good game. It was the game that you wanted to play, a little bit of a boring road game, turned into be a little bit more exciting than I think the Leafs wanted to be, giving up 37 shots, and then there started to be some quality scoring chances in the third period, and eventually one found the back of the net.
I'm just taking a look here at guys like Sean Matthias. He had just a whack of chances.
Yes,
he gets three shots on goal. Like you said, exciting. I don't know if the 37 shots on goal is what Mike Babcock will find exciting, but makes it more exciting game. And even though the Leafs had 22, I don't know what the scoring chances were exactly, but you look at, first of all, Michael Grabner's a guy that you expect to score at some point, and then probably Matthias, but a few other ones. There were some redirects going the way against James Reimer. There was outstanding performance by both goaltenders, and I guess the difference is there just wasn't that late goal by Nazem Kadri, which was very late. And you think about the power play opportunity, the fact that the Carolina player gloved the puck, and all those things came in. Otherwise, if you play this style, they're quite often, very, very often, you're trying to play a style, let the first guy blink, and I don't even say the Leafs blink, but the Bruins certainly didn't blink. So you get zero goals, you got no chance of winning.
Well, the whole game had that feel to it, especially like through the first period into the second, kind of like if the Leafs continue to kind of sit in their heels a little bit and just rely on James Reimer to get the win for him, you kind of thought that this was going to happen, and it took, all the way to the 57th minute, basically, of the game until they ended up getting that goal. But they were bending. And then they finally broke with a Zdeno Chara 105-mile-an-hour slapper from just inside of the faceoff circle. Not too many goalies are going to stop that thing coming in as quick as it did.
Like we said, 2-0 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're just hitting the airwaves on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. If you want to get in to chat with Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, we've opened the phone lines at 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. And this good road game, I'm thinking of Roger Nielsen. I know it's so many years ago, and he followed the Red Kelly era, where it was quite exciting hockey. And again, a lot of people are going, what are you talking about? I don't understand. I don't remember. But it was a style. It was almost similar to the way the Leafs were playing before. Fire wagon hockey, the style that had them last year. Right up till the first of January, the number one offensive scoring team in the NHL, and then you try to institute the defensive system. Is this going to be the way all 82 games, or when we talk about it being a road game, is this the way going to be on the road and there's more liberties, or there's a little more slack for it when you're on home ice?
Well, I think this is exactly the type of hockey you're going to see for pretty much the whole year, especially with the lineup that the Leafs have. I mean, this is a Mike Babcock system. This is the way he wants to play right now. And I think when we hear him in the presser, he's going to be a little bit disappointed with the amount of shots they gave up. But again, at the end of the day, you're on the road at 0-0 going into the final 4 minutes of the game in Boston, which is a tough building to win at. Doesn't matter which team is playing playing the Bruins. And they played a, you know, they played a really good road game. And it just, unfortunately for them tonight, it didn't work out the way they had wanted it to.
The goal was Zdeno Chara's third of the year from Trotman and Bolesky at the 16-17 mark. Later on, with 7 seconds left, Brad Marchand adds an empty netter from Erickson and Bergeron. And that was it, 2-0. And, boy, I've seen too much of Zdeno Chara. If you're a Maple Leaf fan, I think anybody's seen enough of Zdeno Chara, but especially against the Leafs. And, again, we always seem to look back to Game 7. It's like that whole playoff series never existed for six games, you know? It's just that Game 7 when the Leafs are down by three, and it's just this indelible mark and memory of certain people. And certainly Zdeno Chara loomed large in that respect. Guy that's battled injury to come back, a guy that there were some rumors about, would he be a guy they look to trade on the trade deadline? Of course, he has a no-trade clause, so he controls that, and it's doubtful he would want to go anywhere else. But, you know, tonight, played 23 minutes and 3 seconds, a little bit less than he normally plays or was playing in his prime, but he gets that goal. You mentioned it. He's got that shot people forget. He's got that kind of offensive power on that shot.
Well, you know, you get older, you start losing your foot speed a little bit, but when you're 6'9", and you're stronger than any human being on the face of the planet right now. This guy is still a physical specimen on the ice, and he is intimidating. You saw him; he was rubbing the glove into Dion Phaneuf's face. There's nothing you can really do except just let the giant sleep and hope he doesn't wake up. And you know what? He can still bring it. He's still an elite player. And on Hockey Night in Canada night, they talked about the top five Bruins defenseman of all time, and Zdeno Chara is in that company.
Well, absolutely, and I always look at minutes played a little bit, just as a little quirky thing as far as Mike Babcock, who's hot, who's not. Usually it's Matt Hunwick who leads, and in this case, let me get it right, he comes third in minutes played. It's Dion Phaneuf at 23:57, Jake Gardner at 23:51, so Jake Gardner is the bit of a surprise. He's not normally up there leading in minutes played, and then you have Hunwick at 21:51, Morgan Riley at 20 minutes, 55 seconds. I mean, it's easy to pick out who the top four core defensemen were, but a little more ice time for Jake Gardner in this game. I don't know if there's something he saw, whether he's trying to get some offense going in the third period or what.
Well, no, I thought Jake Gardner was just a reliable defenseman. And he was using his speed. I mean, Boston was coming with a lot of speed tonight. Brad Marchand was just, he was tearing up the ice tonight. And I thought that they were coming on them extremely hard. But what ended up happening was tonight, Jake Gardner ended up getting on the ice, and he ended up, you know, he's making the first pass out. He was that extra quick step that he had kind of nullified a little bit of the forecheck that Boston had tonight. But I thought Jake Gardner had a really solid game. I thought the entire back end had a solid game tonight. There wasn't too many guys that you could look at and say, you know what, this is the reason why they lost. This is why they should have scored more goals. I thought the back end for Toronto did a really good job tonight against a Boston team that came extremely hard tonight.
Shots on goal, 37-22 in favor of the Boston Bruins. Again, the final score was 2-0 in favor of the Boston Bruins. Taking a look at the 22 shots the Maple Leafs had. And again, you know, you'd rather see scoring chances to get an accurate barometer, but four players had 3 each, so they had 12 of the 22. One of the players, P.A. Parenteau, Sean Mathias that we talked about, Peter Holland, and Leo, Roman Pollock. Now, reading it correctly, Roman Pollock is the other one. So a little mixed bag of who got them along the way. And Sean Mathias, his 3 chances. He got 18 minutes, 25 seconds of ice time. So that's about the most or as much, I think, as he's had all season. But, you know, this is the kind of thing you're looking at. His physicality is coming into play. His confidence is coming to play. I know he's not a 30-goal scorer, but you're just hoping he can start burying a few more, and he's hoping he can bury a few more.
Yeah, and those 3 shots were all 3 breakaway shots, right? And it would have been nice to be able to sneak one of them in. The last one that he went in was a partial one, and he got his – yeah, the defenseman got his stick on his hand, so he didn't really able to get it away that well. But, yeah, you were hoping that one of those would have snuck in, and I'm sure Sean Mathias will be the first one to tell you that if had he scored one of those breakaways, it would have been a completely different game tonight. Toronto would have had to lead at some point, and it wouldn't have been a 0-0 game all the way in until the final minutes of the third period.
2-0, the Boston Bruins defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. So welcome your phone calls, 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Let's bring on Steve in Nashville. Oh, our phone lines went down. Sorry about that. Steve, if you could call back, we'll put you at the top of it. We've got them all set back there and in order again, so the phone systems are in place. Just after, he's one of our keenest callers, right? We kept him holding for a long time. Sorry about that. Give us a call. We'll put you right to the top of the line. 2-0 Boston Bruin win over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. They'll take on the Bruins again on Monday. So it'll be interesting. Of course, we'll have that game. We'll be down at Air Canada Center. We'll get Todd Alushko's keys to victory as far as that goes. Try to remember what you said tonight and how it might have played out. Because, again, it's been, you know, the Leafs really don't play bad games lately.
Well, they followed it pretty much to a T. I mean, the first was, you know, weather the storm and make sure they come out of the first period, you know, up or tied. And they did that all the way to the third period, actually. They did a good job. The specialty teams weren't really a factor tonight. You know, they had, what did they have tonight? They both had one power play. Neither scored.
That's all.
Yeah,
wow.
That was it. And a game that was pretty physical, too. It got a little bit chippy, which you think that, you know, Boston continues to play that same way in their rink. It doesn't matter who's in their lineup. You know, you lose the guys like Lucic and some of the physical guys, but they continue to play a physical brand of hockey. And it was kind of funny because we were sitting with producer Matt Brown there for a little bit, and we were both saying, you know, it's crazy how every time you go in there, it doesn't matter who's in there, you know what you're getting when you come to the Boston Gardens, that you're gonna be leaving that place with some ice bags on your body. And they didn't disappoint. They did it again tonight. And that just tells you it's a tough rink to go in and try to get a victory against these guys. These guys play a physical brand of hockey. And I thought that Boston played a very, very solid game tonight. There wasn't a whole lot of mistakes made by those guys.
And Brad Marchand is just so wonderful. To despise him and loathe him as an opponent and have to love him being on the team. And we mentioned so many guys who have left the Boston Bruins since, we always use that as the barometer of the 2012 playoffs. He's one of the guys that stayed. And he just is there, and you see him with that big beak, and they were showing a collage of, you know, him getting in the wheelhouse of the Sedins and other people in the Toronto Maple Leafs historically, and he just does it real well.
Who does he remind you of? Former Hartford Whaler.
Former Hartford Whaler. Pat Verbeek?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same beak, same sort of, I mean, you both have the same nickname, Ball of Hate,
yeah.
Right?
Well, Beek even has it in his name.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's what he reminds me of. But I think he's, you know, Marchand's probably a little bit quicker and has a little bit more offensive flair. I mean, tonight he could have scored the goal of the year had he capitalized. He went in the first period, he went in on Morgan Riley and he beat him went back and forth about three times before he just missed the open net going by James Reimer. I mean, this kid isn't just a poop disturber. This guy can actually bring it, and he's got some serious skill. And, you know, he's the type of player that you hate to play against, but you want him on your team.
Well, they'll play back against him on Monday. And we mentioned Marinson was out of the lineup, Scott Harrington in the lineup. I don't always mean 8 minutes, 59 seconds he played. We're not trying to make the Frankie Corrado, because, again, we spend so much time mm-hmm. talking about the 23rd player, I find, by and large. But it remains interesting about him finding a chance to play break into the Toronto Maple Leaf lineup, claimed on waivers by the Leafs earlier in the year and had a conditioning stint, which is all you can do. You agree to go down to the Toronto Marlies for a certain period of time and now back up, hasn't played. So I don't think Monday would be the game.
No, I don't. And you know what? I don't even know why we even talk about it more, because it's going to happen when Mike Babcock wants it to happen. So, you know, poor Frankie Corrado, you want to see him get in the lineup, but, you know, it's a moot point right now. When they think he's ready, or if there's an injury, that's when he's going to get in. And if he doesn't get in, they try to send him down. You know, he has to go through waivers again. And if he doesn't clear it, you know, Vancouver's got a chance to pick him up, which would be unfortunate because from all indication, from what I hear, Frankie Corrado is a very good defenseman and is going to be a good one for a long term to come. He needs a chance to get in. But, I mean, that's not the reason why they won or lost tonight, but it would just be nice to see him get his opportunity.
Well, you look at it as well tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins, 37-22 shots on goal for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. 2-0 was the final score. No score till like less than 4 minutes left in the game. And, I clogging up the middle. I'm trying to go through it all. It's kind of hard. You know, again, we keep going back to the same thing. Part of the impressive part is the systems they play, buying into the system. But then, I don't know if you need some latitude from the system, whatever it may be. Shutouts happen. You keep trying to talk yourself into that it was an entertaining game, and then you say, well, actually, it was an entertaining game.
Well, you know what I noticed tonight, Gord, when I was watching this, is both teams, you know, do a good job of getting the puck in and chipping it in and getting in behind the defenseman and having some sort of sustained pressure getting on the defenseman. I thought one team did that really well tonight. I thought the Bruins did that. They were getting the puck to the blue line, chipping it past the defenseman, and they had sustained puck pressure all night long. what I did see from the Leafs is they were getting pucks and they were chipping it in, but they didn't have that same jump that they had last night against Carolina or the game against Colorado. There seemed to be a little bit of, you know, maybe the back-to-backs got to them and there wasn't as much in the gas tank tonight. But I thought that that was a little bit lacking in their game. Again, they almost got away with it. They almost got a point tonight. But I thought that was probably the major thing tonight. There wasn't as much sustained puck pressure down low in the offensive zone. And the defensemen of the Bruins weren't really challenged as much as I thought they should have been tonight. But again, back-to-backs, you don't know how tired these guys were tonight.
Well, we're seeing a little physicality, a fight going on in the Chicago Blackhawk-Vancouver Canuck game. And something the Toronto Maple Leafs are still lacking as far as the season is a fight. And maybe that might be a good chance before we go to the break in a few minutes' time, get some of our guests to go to the take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard, Todd, to see what's going around the other games that started early. There were no games that started early this afternoon, and maybe we'll just give the scores, and later on we will give some more detailed, give more details about the scoring. So just quickly we'll give you the scores, and then we'll give you the scores when we come back. How about that?
Sure.
Can we do that, Matt? We can do that, right? Okay. Go ahead. What do you got the scores there?
All right, in Florida, and it's 4-4 in overtime right now. Rangers and Panthers. Oh, it is a – I'm sorry. I haven't refreshed my thing here. I'm sorry. It is a – all right.
5-4.
Let's start over right here, Gordon. We're going to start with this. Detroit and St. Louis, it's in the third period. It's 3-2 Detroit. In Buffalo and Dallas in the third period, it's 3-0 Dallas over Buffalo right now. Nashville, Minnesota, 4-0 in the third period for Minnesota over Nashville. Chicago and Vancouver are deadlocked at donuts right now in the first period. Ottawa and Philadelphia, Ottawa 4-0 over Philadelphia. That's a big win there. And Tampa Bay, this is a surprise, a 5-0 victory over Anaheim.
A lot of shutouts are there tonight.
Yeah, and a final in Florida. New York Rangers 5, Florida 4. Pittsburgh Penguins lose to San Jose at home 3-1, and the Washington Capitals got their offense going tonight and beat Colorado 7-3. Arizona and Winnipeg wins at home 3-2 over Arizona.
Okay, we'll give you the updates and some backgrounds about what happened in the games, but I'll tell you what, why don't we take a break now, and we'll come back. We've got guests like, is that correct, Paul Hendrick joining us from Boston, and Joe Haggerty as well. We've got the Boston Bruin point of view. Chatted with Billy Jaffe earlier on tonight. He talked about a Boston Bruin team looking for some kind of identity. Well, tonight their identity is they come up with a 2-0 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
No score in the game. Shot, pat, save, rebound. Another stop. Down is Reimer. Where's the puck? Carried into the corner. Right. And cleared off the glass. Out of play.
Gotta love the Joe Bo and Jim Ralph calls. Where is it? A little sampling of James Reimer. Another solid game for James Reimer, but unfortunately, when you score zero goals, you don't win too many games. And the Toronto Maple Leafs go down to a 2-0 defeat to the Boston Bruins tonight. Second goal was an empty netter. The game winner came with under 4 minutes left, 3 minutes, 43 seconds by Zdeno Chara. And that is all she wrote. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Halushko with you. Going to hear from a few of the principals in tonight's game. What do you think Mike Babcock's going to say?
I think he's going to just talk about he's not disappointed at all with the effort, especially being on a back-to-back. I think that he understood that these guys may have been a little bit tired tonight, but still, it's no excuse. He wanted the victory. They've got to find a way to score. There's not a whole lot of bad things to say tonight, I got to be honest. I think he may find one because he wants them to be ready to play Boston back home. But you know what? There can't be too many complaints on this type of game tonight, because this is how he wants his team to play for the majority of the year.
I thought it was interesting last night. I thought Todd, for the first time, he was a little bit more critical.
Yeah,
it's like
was.
He's bent over backwards after the horrible start to really, you know, kid gloves for Nazem Kadri, kid gloves for Tyler Bozak, kid gloves for those kinds of guys. And then last night, now he's getting, and justifiably so, you know, some expectations are creeping in and just not – horrible criticism, but just a little more expectations and a little less covering up.
I think there's going to be a little bit of criticism. I think he's going to be talking about JVR a little bit missed assignment on the Chara goal. He was kind of out of position. But other than that, there really isn't a whole lot, because this is the game plan. This is exactly how they wanted to attack this game tonight. So it will be interesting to see what he has to say.
Well, 2-0 win by the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's hear from head coach Mike Babcock after tonight's loss.
Good road game. I know the result wasn't what you wanted, Mike.
Well, I didn't like our first period. I didn't think we were competitive enough in the first period. I thought we were way better in the second period, and I thought they pushed a little bit in the third. I hate to see them obviously score with 3 minutes left or whatever was left, and saying that's what we did last night. So, obviously you'd like to grab another point here today or two, but we didn't do that. We're getting better as a team, and we spent too much time, I thought, in the first in our own zone for sure. And, they're a good hockey club. I thought they came at us good.
Bruins a good team to sort of measure yourself, your own progress at, because you're a well-coached, well-disciplined team.
Well, I think everybody, when you're us, is a good team to measure yourself. I don't think we have any games where you look at the other opponent and say, geez, they're not a good team. So, to me, we basically evaluate ourselves, but the Bruins are a good team. There's no question about it. And I thought Rask played real well tonight. We had some quality chances, and I thought he played well, and in the end they were able to get it done.
Does James look quieter in the net to you the last couple of weeks?
Well, I just think anybody that's confident is twitchy, and the puck's not coming off him, so there's not second chances. You're just making one and it's done. Our guys are doing a good job, so we're keeping him out to the outside way more, and he's played well. I thought Rimes had a real strong night tonight.
Did you know much about him before you got here?
What I would say to you is I didn't know much about anybody. You watch them on tape, you know who they are, but until you're actually in the room, you have no idea.
Has his personality sort of shone through, because he's such an easygoing and lovable kind of guy?
Yeah, guys, I got nothing to go off, because I don't know him from the past. I just know he's a good guy and he's battled hard. When he came out of training camp, he had a good training camp, and the other guy got to play all the time. It would have been easy for him to, feel bad for himself or be upset. He just dug in and played harder, or maybe he was upset. And he's just gotten better and better, and he gives us a chance each night he starts. So good for him.
Do you get an indication that Michael Grabner's coming close to maybe doing what he can do?
Well, he had lots of chances, obviously. And, the bottom line is we got to find ways to score 5-on-5 goals. The last two games, in my opinion, we didn't generate what we've been generating, rolling around the offensive zone, and give the other teams credit as well. But that's going to be key for us to have success going forward. So we got to find a way to generate more 5-on-5.
Yeah, I found it a little strange. Michael Grabner had no shots on goal, and I thought, like Sean Mathias, I thought these are guys that were creating some offensive chances, but not enough as far as head coach Mike Babcock thinks.
Well, it's interesting, because he keeps on talking about the fact that we need to generate a little bit more offense. Well, you have what you have in the lineup, and we talked about it last game. Joffrey Lupo scoring, and Holland contributed to Bozak. So they are getting some scoring, but I don't think on a continuous basis you can think that the Leafs are going to score 4 or 5 goals a game. This is what you're going to see the majority of the year, is 1-0, 2-1, 3-1 games. So, I know you want to create more offense, but you have what you have in the lineup, so you've got to try to find a way, and I guess maybe finding a way is moving your feet more, creating penalties to give you more chances to go in the PP and maybe score more goals that way.
I think one of the unfortunate things as well was their best effort, where they got some goals, was in New York. Got 3 goals, and they kept bouncing back, kept coming back, and ultimately get no points, and Jonathan Vernier feels as bad about that game as anybody does, but it was another solid effort by the team, a team that's giving you a lot of solid efforts of late.
Yeah, there's no bitching about what they're doing right now in terms of the effort. Anyone that talks and says, this team isn't giving it their all, well, they haven't been watching the games, because this team is giving it all they got right now. And tonight, as much as, it was a 0-0 game with, basically 4 minutes left to go, entertaining game. You would have liked to see Toronto get a few more scoring chances, but at the end of the day, the effort is there, and that's all we've been asking for, and that's exactly what Mike Babcock has been demanding from the players, and they're getting it. The guys are working hard, and they're getting it. That was a good hockey team in Boston, and they came out with one of their better games tonight, and Toronto almost got some points out of there.
Yeah, he also was talking about, everyone's trying to press him about, he's big on, I didn't know, I know nothing, Sergeant Schultz, I know nothing, I didn't know nothing about James Reimer, nothing, and Probably that's true. I think you have to know a little bit about everybody. Let's face it, you know, but just
you're coaching the National Hockey League. You know everybody.
Yeah, but as far as I take it, just getting to know him, right? Getting to know him on that particular level, I can see that. And he's obviously sitting back enjoying it, as he said. The guy's been a great personality. He worked really hard this summer in the offseason, James Reimer. And as he mentioned, the other guy got to play more games, and he kept his attitude strong. And it's a good life lesson, whether it's athletes or life in general, about how James Reimer's conducted himself.
Gord, you know as well as I do, at the beginning of the year when Mike Babcock went into his office and he had a whiteboard on there and he started putting the names down of who is going to be around when he's going to be here. You know that James Reimer and Jonathan Bernier's names probably weren't up there. But the thing that I like that what James Reimer has done is he's probably got his name back on that whiteboard because of the way that he has been playing the play and the way that he's been impressing Mike Babcock on a consistent basis. This is something that you can't deny now. You can't look away. This is a guy that's coming to the game, coming to the rink every single game and competing. That's what Mike Babcock wants. Guess what? You got a goalie that's doing it right now for you.
Well, let's hear from James Reimer. We talk about a 37 shots on goal. So he stopped, I don't know how many were empty netters. So he stopped 36 of them.
One.
Yeah, so one empty net shot. So he stopped 35 of 36 shots on net. Yep. And the one goal was an empty netter. So that's still excellent, excellent numbers. And he would be one of the three stars of tonight's game again in anyone's books. But it's a 2-0 Boston Bruins win. One goal late on James Reimer. One goal in the empty net. Here he is talking after tonight's loss in Boston.
It's too bad. I mean, I thought we worked hard. I mean, the second game in two nights is... it's always tough, and we battled right down to the wire. So it was, it was too bad we couldn't squeeze out a point.
But what is it about the Bruins, you guys? It seems to always be a close game where they bring the best out of both teams. And you just go right back at it Monday against these guys.
Yeah, no, just a good rivalry. I mean, original six, obviously we've had a few battles in the past, and so whenever you face off against them, it's a fun game because it's going to be a high intensity one, and so those are always the ones you want to be a part of.
Were adjustments made after the first period heading into the second to allow you guys to really compete and even face the shots were 9 apiece, I believe?
Yeah, I know. I thought obviously after the first wasn't our best and we knew it, and so we kind of chatted in here and made sure that we came up with a little more jump in the second or third, and I mean, sometimes that's the case. I mean, you don't want to make excuses by any means, but second game in three nights. I mean, in two nights, your legs are a little heavy sometimes in the first, and so it takes a bit to get her going. But I thought we got her going and played well the last 40. But they just were able to get one goal past me.
Since you're the only one in this room that's ever had to do it, what's it like standing there as Zdeno Chara gets to the face-off dot, the man that's been clocked with the hardest slap shot ever and winds up like that?
No, I mean, you just stand in there and try and read it. And, unfortunately, tonight I read it wrong, or on that shot I read it wrong. So, it's obviously he's got a good shot. He's got a pretty hard shot, but... I think it's one that, I think it's, other people may think differently, but, I think, I'm good enough to stop it. And so it's unfortunate that it slipped through.
Mike mentioned he thought you were more relaxed leading up to starts and throughout starts. Do you feel that way?
I think it's just, I think everybody is. I think, we're kind of touching on again just that confidence we have in our group. And when everybody's pulling, they're 1/20th, then it's an easy game, I mean, I know that my teammates are going to have my back, no matter what. So all I have to do is stand in there, do my part, and they'll do their part. So when you go into a game like that, you have a little more confidence.
The opportunity to play these guys twice in 48 hours, do you welcome the opportunity as a group?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's almost like just a mini series or something like that. It's, I think we'll come out flying, I think, at home against these guys. I mean, obviously, it's not fun to lose, in the last couple minutes of the game. So I think we're going to come out firing on Monday, and it should be a good one.
Thank you.
Chris, did something else I didn't want to ask you this from, but given the way the last couple of years went, could you have foreseen this happening with this team getting on a run like this, or would that never have crossed your mind?
I think it's a lot of different variables. I mean, we've got a lot of new guys in here, so it's a big change, and I think we have a new coach too. So I think as soon as I heard that that Babs is coming in. I mean, that I think that changes the whole dynamic. Everyone can see, how we're playing and how better defensively we're playing. And so, when you're playing better defense, it breeds success. And so I think that's kind of, yeah.
Well, did you feel like you had a fresh start, kind of?
Yeah.
Coach, fresh start, nothing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think for him, he's a guy that likes people who compete, work hard, and I try and be that kind of a person, like everyone, I think, tries to be the kind of person. But, I have a lot of pride in what you do and how you carry yourself every day. And so, I'm just happy about the way things, are going so far.
James Reimer of the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's always the way he conducts himself through thick and thin. And Mike Zeisberger, you heard him asking, trying to paint like a dramatic picture about the Zdeno Chara shot. I don't know if I wonder how much he's aware of it or not when he comes out there. The guys have so much equipment nowadays, but to Chara's credit, that was the one shot that eluded him.
Yeah, no, there's not a whole lot that you're going to be able to do on that shot. He just came in, put it on the tees and hit it as hard as he could. And it was one of those situations. There's not a lot of reaction time. It either hits you or it doesn't. But, that's one reason why, you listen to that, why his teammates love him so much, is that, he goes in there and he's getting, guys want to compliment him, give him some credit and stuff. What does he do again? He deflects everything again, says, no, I'm just 1/20th part of this team. Everyone's pulling on the rope at the same time. And that's why his teammates like him so much. It's not about him. It's about team first always.
Well, Sean Mathias was the guy who mentioned three shots on goal. There were three breakaways. He had glorious scoring opportunities. I mean, give him credit for creating them. It's just too bad he could not finish on one. 18 minutes, 25 seconds of ice time. Here's Sean Mathias after tonight's 2-0 loss to the Boston Bruins.
We had our chances. We didn't start well, but I think we came out hard the second period and strong the third, but it sucks losing, and we're trying to get back into things here. We need all the points we can get, and could have been a really good road trip if we got that win.
You just try to mix it up on those breakaways that you had?
That's frustrating. I mean, just overthought it. The first one got in my head, and then I tried to change things up. A lot of shots, a lot of chances for some other guys, too, and their goalie played well.
You had a hat-trick against this team in Vancouver last February. I mean, the pendulum goes both ways, I guess, at times.
Yeah, I mean, I had some lucky ones that night, and tonight I wasn't so lucky, so that's the way hockey goes sometimes.
The Bruins, what kind of team are they to measure yourselves against? Did you get them right back again on Monday?
They're a good team. They're a tough team. They're a good, heavy team down low. And they've got guys that have won Stanley Cups, so they've been successful. They know how to win. It's frustrating giving up the loss late in the game like that, letting them walk in, because we were coming back. And it's like I said before, we need all the points we could get. We were pushing them. Thought we had it for a little while there, and it's frustrating, but the good thing is we get to see him Monday night.
What sticks out to you about James during this run?
He's been playing well. He's been competing hard. He's been quiet through the whole course. I know he's really, bothering him. He's just doing his thing, and he's confident right now. He's a heck of a goalie. Feel confident in front of him. I think we just feel confident as a group, too. We've had some success. That one stings, but like I said before, we get to see them Monday night at our bar, and we're looking forward to playing them against in our home town with our own fans.
Oh, Sean Mathias sounds a little stuffed up there.
Yeah, a little bit of a cold.
A little bit of a cold, and we'll say bad mustache. I don't know. We all did Movember at one point, so he's got one. It's a great cause, not a great stash. Interesting when he talked about the breakaways, and when you've got a series of breakaways, but overthinking it. And it's easy for all of us to say, well, just do what you do naturally. But Sometimes when you have too much time, it's natural to overthink it.
Oh, 100%. You're going in there, and the best breakaways that you get are the ones that are mini ones that are just like with five feet in front, not one that starts at the red line and goes in, because there's so many thoughts going through your head. You see the goalie out, you're wondering, okay, am I going to shoot? He's backing in. I got a deke. Do I go forehand, backhand? Oh, 100%. There's 9 million thoughts that go through your head. The one thing that I do like that's going through all these guys' heads right now, when you listen to them talk, is it's not like the beginning of the year when they lost a game and they said, it's all part of the process. We're getting there. We're buying in. Right now, these guys are generally disappointed that they're losing games, and they believe that they should be winning. And that's a great sign when you're listening to these guys compared to how we were listening to them a couple months ago, where they were just accepting it with what was going on. These guys are upset. They think they should win every single night, and that's a great attitude to have, especially if you want to make the playoffs this year.
Well, Nazem Kadri yesterday, and he kind of referred to, oh, you guys, the media guys, and didn't believe in it and what have you. But, you know, I don't mind him being a little combative with media. That part's okay. But definitely the players were the same. Like early on, it was about we lost, but it's going to be pain now for gain down the road. And now they're just of the mind, though, they're just gain down the road. Let's go out. And as we said, if they won tonight, we're talking about leapfrogging over a number of teams, yeah, including the Boston Bruins, to get in a playoff spot. So that ends up not being the case. 2-0 win for the Boston Bruins. And taking a look, Dion Phaneuf is the guy that had the most ice time tonight, 23 minutes, 57 seconds. You used to be say that every game in, game out. And most of this season, though, Matt Hunwick has had a little bit more time than he has, but wasn't the case tonight. Leaf captain, nothing going on that way. He had 3 hits. He's had some pretty good hits the last couple of games, especially against Carolina. Here is the Maple Leaf captain, Dion Phaneuf, talking after tonight's 2-0 loss.
Yeah, we thought we started. We were a little bit slow to get going, and then second period we find a way to push back. I thought we got our game to the level that we liked, and then third's a tight checking, you know, man's game, and I disappointing because you look the way we push back in the second, it's a tie game going into the third, and it's you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see the standings and where we're at, where they're at. It's that was a big 2 points. So we've got to go home, get some rest tomorrow, and refocus. We got them again on Monday. But I thought we, for a back-to-back game where they didn't play last night, I thought we showed a lot of character to play the level that we did. But it's disappointing letting them win it late.
Important defensive zone to get you guys out of some tough chances. They were buzzing on the cycle attacks.
Yeah, they came hard early. We expected it. We talked about it. We know when we play a team that plays the night before, we want to have a good start against them. We knew they were going to push. I thought they did the first 10. They really came at us. We were a little bit slow to get going, but we regrouped. We came back. We pushed back, and we had some chances too. How many posts did we hit? I thought we probably 2. I think maybe 3. We had some chances, and bottom line is we didn't get 2 points.
Have you ever seen James on a run like this before in his career?
I've seen him play. I've seen him play lots, and I've seen him play lots of real good hockey. So he looks confident and looks really good to me, but I've seen him play lots of good hockey.
Are you usually checking the standings this early in the year, or is that?
I think you always. The thing is, we dug ourselves a little bit of a hole early, but we weren't getting results, and I think the effort was there, so that was disappointing. But we fought back. We clawed back into a spot where we feel that we've got to keep taking steps forward. But we did a lot of good job, or a lot of good things over the last 3 weeks, so we've got to continue. But it's disappointing not to come out of here with points, because we did it's 0-0 till 3:50 left. So you would have liked to get a point and push it to extra time.
Did you have any issue with the
thank you
with the hit on Marchand on
Leo? I didn't really. I'm not gonna say whether I didn't have a great angle at it, to be honest with you. So the refs do a pretty good job, and obviously they didn't see much more than what there was.
Was the microphone moving away from a little bit there? Did it sound like that? I don't know.
A little bit.
Sounded like that a little bit as the mic moved away from Dion Phaneuf, but heard him talk about, or as we talked to the Leaf captain after tonight's game. It's funny when he talks about James Reimer being on that kind of tear. Not to go back, but it's been 3.5 years. Since that playoff run, and so much was made once, and then once they were making a big deal on social media about, I forget whose spouse was allegedly looking perturbed about the play the other person.
That was Reimer's.
Yeah, something like that. They're talking about just, you think how hot and heavy things were 3.5 years ago with that Boston series. Just nice to see James Reimer on a run like that. I don't know if he's had a better run or not. Dion really didn't know. That's about as good as it it gets for him. But the back-to-backs, Todd, is I don't know if they've changed from your day in that. I mean, we do know that it is tough if you're the back-to-back team and the other team isn't. It's funny, a lot more is made out of them now. And I think it's because of the proliferation of media that were there all over the place. Because I also think now you got chartered airplanes, you've got, you know, nutrition, you've got so many other factors that don't make it as difficult as it used to be.
Physically, I don't think it's that tough. I think mentally it is sometimes. You get in and, you know, like you just said, you're on a chartered flight and you're just reclining back and you're having a steak and lobster on the plane. Yeah, life is good. You go into a 5-star hotel, it's not that bad, but it's just, I guess it's getting up the next morning, going through your meetings. It's monotonous because it's repetition over and over again. And it's more mental focus than it is physical. So that's what, when they're talking about recharging, it's not recharging physically, it's recharging mentally. And I think as the season gets on, that gets better. The train of thought gets better. And, this early in the season, sure, it definitely has an effect on the body.
So you always dined on steak and lobster, is that right?
You know what? I had it one time. I still remember my very first game with the Philadelphia Flyers. We were on a chartered flight, and I couldn't believe it. It was my first game. We played in Tampa Bay or whatever, and we were flying back. And I went on, and all of a sudden the lady comes up, or the flight attendant says, "What would you like, sir?" I'm expecting like one of those little TV tray dinners.
Yeah.
And I go, "Well, what is there?" She goes, "Well, actually, there's surf and turf today." I go, "You got to be kidding me." So I'm sitting in there, my first class seat. And then she goes, "What do you want to drink?" And I go, "Well, what do you have?" And I go, "You know, whatever." And so I just say a Coke. And I remember, I want to say Mark Lamb was sitting beside me. And he goes, "I'll have a strawberry sundae or strawberry shake." I go, "What?" So I go, "I'll have a strawberry shake too." So I legitimately had that on a chartered flight. So that was way back when. So I can only imagine what they're doing right now. So life was good back then. I'm sure it's just as good now.
Yeah, and just like it's good here too, our little healthy eating patterns that we have on Leafs Nation postgame.
There's a nutritionist in here between games or between periods feeding us right now. Matt Brown is that nutritionist.
Yeah, Mark Osborne's never looked better now since he's moved on from this show and scouting for the Los Angeles Kings. So we've got Joe Haggerty coming up. We'll talk some Boston Bruin talk with the Hags as well about a team, as we chatted with Billy Jaffe about it earlier on Leafs on Hockey Nation before the game. You know, really looking for their identity, and they got to be happy with the win tonight. We'll also chat with Paul Hendrick covering the Toronto Maple Leafs for Leafs TV. We'll hear from Mike Babcock again. And we got a whack of games. We got 10 other games going on our out-of-town scoreboard. So we'll bring you up to date, give you some of the scores, some of the storylines as well, as it's a very active out-of-town scoreboard date. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Court Stelic, Todd Alusco on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. It's your post-game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Here's Mathias trying to break in again. He's in a goal and stopped by Rask. Third breakaway for Mathias. Partial this time, nonetheless a good scoring chance.
Well, we heard Sean Mathias talk about it earlier on, and Joe Bowen with the call. Just an outstanding scoring chance. He had three of them tonight, but none went in. As none went in for the Toronto Maple Leafs, a 2-0 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Todd Alusco with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We are going to get the out-of-town scoreboard going in a second. We'll chat more about the Leaf game. We're going to try to connect with our man Paul Hendrick as well. Busy guy, I guess, in Boston. So hopefully we can get him in a little bit. Joe Haggerty will also join us. And taking a look about Sean Mathias as far as the chances went. I'm trying to think who else got glorious chances for the Maple Leafs last night. Outshot 37-22, but it was that kind of clogged the neutral zone. Good road win potentially kind of game, but there was a little glimmer of offense from time to time.
Well, there was. I mean, it's not what you want. I mean, you get 22 shots on goal. You'd like to have a few more shots than that, but the chances are coming. And again, another guy like Sean Mathias, who's, you know, he's scored in the past. He's been a guy that can put the puck in the net. You know, we talked about how Nazem Kadri's had all sorts of chances and stuff, and he's getting chances, and the goals will come. It came last night. For Sean Mathias, it's the same thing. Three breakaways tonight. You would love to have seen him put one in, but at least he's getting the opportunity. And if the opportunities aren't there, then you're worried. You're worried, but he is getting the opportunities. And a lot of those goal-scoring chances that he had tonight were because of his work ethic to get to the puck, to spring himself for those breakaways.
Seems like nobody's in the doghouse anymore. Am I correct? I mean, Brad Boy's being back in the lineup. Nick Spaulding injured. That's why Brad Boy's getting his opportunity. Certainly Peter Holland getting more and more of a presence. How much time did Peter Holland play tonight? Because he was a guy that you figured
was done. Yeah, 10:34.
Yeah, 10:34, so decent time that way. And Roman Polak was a healthy scratch the first two games of the season. So it's interesting. It seems like everyone's had a chance to work their way out of Mike Babcock's doghouse or purgatory, if such a thing really does exist, and get back to being useful players.
Well, as a coach, you don't want to have those decisions. I mean, if you're having those decisions every single game of who should be in and out of the lineup, then your lineup isn't playing consistent hockey. So Mike Babcock's encouraged the fact that he doesn't have to make changes on a nightly basis to get guys in and out. I mean, right now it just seems like the two guys that are switching back and forth is Martin Marincin and maybe Scott Harrington. But other than that, you know, that's a positive for this team that you don't have to make those decisions. So if you were to ask Mike Babcock that, is anyone in your doghouse, he'd probably say no right now. And the truth is, we've watched these games, Gord, and these guys, there really isn't one guy that stood out that is saying he better not be in the lineup tomorrow. So you kind of, we're answering our own questions. These guys are playing good hockey right now. So continue the way, continue the battle.
And Nazem Kadri as well, ice time comparable to Tyler Bozak. Bozak at 18:15, Kadri at 17:52. So just 23 seconds less. And that was something that generally he got dwarfed by Bozak. Bozak would take all the big faceoffs and all that went on. And now it's a much more comparable ice time showing Nazem Kadri. They want to see if he can be a number one center down the road.
And I think that he's shown that in his play, with the exception of not actually putting the puck in the net. Everything else, I watched him tonight and yesterday. He's paying attention to the finer details. A couple times tonight, he was on the offensive side of the puck in his own zone, and then he all of a sudden made a quick adjustment. You can see it's almost like it clicked into his head. Oh boy, I'm on the opposite side of the puck. I should get below the puck in my defensive zone. He was making adjustments like that. So when you're really watching the details of Nazem Kadri's game, he is really maturing as a player. And again, you're going to hear it all the time. Everyone's saying, well, just put the goals up, put the goals up. You have to learn how to play defensive hockey before you can go on the offense, or else we're just going to get back to the same running gun that we had last year, and people will be complaining and bitching about it. Nazem Kadri is maturing as a player.
Yeah, I'm trying to think some of the line combinations. He's moved it around a little bit. I mean, last year, part of the problem was it was like Joffrey Lupo wanted to play on the big line. The big line had their TV commercial together. They just kind of, united we stand, divided we fall, and they fell. They had the worst plus minuses in the league, the three of them. As far as it went, and so very different animal. So 5-1, Matt, correct as the final. The Toronto Marlies, 5-1 winners, and we'll get an update on that. I know William Nylander had a goal early on, and T.J. Brennan also had a goal for them as well.
Richard Panik had a goal and a helper.
Oh, so you got the summary there. Okay, what else happened?
Brendan Lipsick had two assists. He was 5-1. Matt Fratton had a goal. William Nylander had a goal. T.J. Brennan had a goal and assist. Perry Stewart. You know, 5-1, the spreading was all out there. And, you know, right now, the Toronto Marlies are looking extremely well. Right now, I believe they are 17 games played. They're 13-3-1 right now. 27 points in the North Division in their first place. Looking good right now.
Yeah, you know, you forget a lot of those names. I mean, Matt Fratton was a guy that was riding high during that 2012 playoff. I keep going back to the Boston series. You talked about the player acquired from Nashville as well in the Mike Santorelli trade. Mm-hmm. And then Byron Fraze, just looking at his ice time again, it's kind of the role, let's see, 15:55, two shots on net. So he is the guy that is the checker. He's got that role. It means you're a core three center. It means you get a lot of ice time. It means you're entrusted with playoffs, and you're entrusted for your strong defensive play to go against some of the bigger guns. So it's quite a leap, and seems like he's been doing fine with it. The most important thing is Mike Babcock seems to think he's doing fine with it.
Oh, 100%. Again, you've got a coach in your corner right now. I mean, this is Byron Fraze is loving life right now, and he's making the most of it. It's not, and this isn't a situation where the coach is just it's a you know he's my favorite guy right now or the flavor of the month. He's gone in and he's contributed to this team and he's been an important part of this team and an important part to the reason why they have been successful the last little while. One other point there, Gord, on the Marlies game is Garrett Sparks was in net again tonight and stopped 31 of 32 shots, playing extremely well. I mean, they got two really good goaltenders sitting down in the minors for the Marlies right now.
Well, if James Reimer had faltered after Jonathan Bernier, you know, was having those soft goal falters, they might have called a goalie up from the Toronto Marlies. I think yep. Mike Babcock was awfully close to trying to see what one of those guys are.
Yep.
We'll take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard now. And Philadelphia at Ottawa, we're going to talk about a lot of shutouts along the way. Craig Anderson gets a shutout. Mike Hoffman scores a goal and an assist. Bobby Ryan added two assists. He was listed as a doubtful for the game for a while, but comes on board and plays. And a pretty tidy 4-0 at-home win for the Ottawa Senators against a really struggling, floundering Philadelphia Flyers team.
Winnipeg was at home tonight as well against Arizona. Chris Thorburn's third period shorthanded goal snapped a 2-2 tie and gave the Jets their second consecutive win after losing six in a row. So Shane Doan also joins Jaromír Jágr as the only player in NHL history to score a goal at the MTS Center and the Winnipeg Arena. Obviously, Shane Doan started with the Jets, and that's what happened. And Winnipeg defeated Arizona at home tonight, 3-1.
Yeah, short-handed goals are a killer, and Chris Thorburn getting that. That's such a momentum booster for the Winnipeg Jets and a killer if you're the Arizona Coyotes. And so Shane Doan goes back to the Winnipeg Arena. And the biggest picture of Queen Elizabeth in the history of mankind.
Oh, yeah.
That was one big picture.
It's awesome.
It's got beautiful teeth. Anaheim at Tampa Bay. Our buddy Bruce Boudreau is not going to be happy about it. The Tampa Bay Lightning been struggled scoring. Like first 20 games of the year, 3.8 goals they averaged last year. This year, 2.2. So you're talking about a buck and a half goals difference. So they certainly get that tonight, way over that five. Steven Stamkos scores twice, adds an assist. Ben Bishop, 30 saves for his first shutout of the season. I know for Bruce Boudreau's Anaheim Ducks, scoring been a problem. You've got Ryan Getzlaff with one goal. It was an empty netter. And, you know, Corey Perry not with a ton either. So they've got to try to hope these guys get going.
The New York Rangers were looking to keep pace with the Montreal Canadiens and the Dallas Stars, trying to get some points to share top of the division or top of the league overall. And they succeeded tonight, beating the Florida Panthers 5-4. Jaromír Jágr scored his eighth of the season to force overtime. But crafty Rick Nash capped off a three-goal night in overtime. Rick Nash.
I wonder if Jaromír Jágr is okay about the fact his record was tied about goals in the MTS Arena and back in the old Winnipeg Arena. With Shane Doan doing that tonight,
sure
I tend
he's
to
fine
think
with it.
He is okay with that. San Jose 3-1 winners are the Pittsburgh Penguins. Brent Burns and his tattoos and his reptile scored twice. He's got 5 points in his last two games. Patrick Marleau's assist on Burns' first goal was point number 1,000. So the unusual thing nowadays is getting all 1,000 points with your original NHL team. He goes so far back. He lived with Kelly Rudy as a rookie.
Wow.
You know, Kelly's a great-grandfather now. So, I mean, you know, you got to take a look at that, put it in perspective. So he's the 36th player in NHL history to join the club. 1,000 points with the same team. Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, our third set of top two picks from the same draft year to post 1,000 NHL points. So got a couple of guys picked to top that. That have recorded 1,000 points for Patrick Marleau. He makes it today.
Who? The other two pairs are?
The other two pairs are, got Thornton and Marleau.
No. The two, Guy Lafleur.
Oh.
And Marcel Dion.
Oh, how do you know that one? That's a pretty good one. Guy Lafleur, first overall, the Montreal Canadiens.
Pierre Turgeon and Brendan Shanahan as well.
Oh, very good. Very good. So you're being fed that stuff, huh?
Oh, that's top of my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt Brown is so quick back there, producer. Yeah. He's helping us out.
Let me get that again. So Guy Lafleur, can you believe it? That was the first overall pick of the California Golden Seals. That's where Sammy Pollock started fleecing every. The new six teams came on board, and teams like L.A. and California had no idea about the value of first-round picks.
I know.
So he had the Montreal Canadiens had 23 first-round picks in 9 years. So averaged 2.5 picks a year, 2.5 first-round picks, and fleeced them in that. And the other one. Yeah, so, and then, of course, Marcel Dion went second overall. He went to Detroit, then to Los Angeles. And then back then, Pierre Turgeon and Brendan Shanahan back in the 1986 or 87 draft. 87 draft in Detroit. Okay, so there you go. You got it all.
You know what? That 1,000 NHL points, that is crazy. Like, that is that is such a milestone to get. People have no idea. Like, if you've never played, it's crazy. It's hard to think about. So
are you
going to
say it's redonkulous? Were you going to say that?
I wasn't
going to
say that. That's
okay.
your
That's
saying.
Not my term. I just got a friend that says it. Okay.
So in Washington tonight, the offense just exploded over Colorado. They won 7-3. Evgeny Kunets. I got this. Kunets. I was...
Kuznetsov.
Why did I mess this up?
You forgot the Z.
I got it. Kuznetsov scored a goal and had two assists. And Jason Chimera added three assists. I love Kuznetsov. After starting its seven-game road trip with three straight wins, Colorado has now lost its last three. They are struggling.
Yeah, one of those was in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. You always got to like Jason Chimera. He is just a golden oldie. Great guy, character guy, picking up three assists, as you mentioned, in that game. Wow, lots of goals there. 7-3 Washington over Colorado.
What's going to happen with Patrick Waugh if they keep losing?
I don't know. It's a strange one when you just rhymed off not guys that were teammates, but, you know, number one and number two overall picks synonymous with each other getting 1,000 career points. And, I mean, here you got Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh. I mean, they won all the Stanley Cups together. They've done everything together. And is Joe Sakic going to pull the trigger on Patrick Waugh? I mean, Patrick Waugh is not an inexperienced Johnny-come-lately coach. I was really impressed how he went back to junior and really immersed himself with the team that way. Well, Detroit Red Wings, 4-3 win over the St. Louis Blues. They continue. Every time you think the Red Wings are sinking down a little bit, they come back and come back with a big W. Timo Pulkkinen, he gets his sixth of the season on the power play in overtime, so the Blues still get a point out of it. I was wondering about Brad Richards' two assists. You know, it's not... You know, they bring guys like Todd Bertuzzi in and Danny Cleary in before, and they reinvent themselves. With Richards, it's been a little bit slower. Dylan Larkin, now his eighth of the season. Larkin's the first Red Wing rookie to score in four straight games since Steve Yzerman back in March 20th to 28th. So that's pretty heady comparables if you're getting compared to Steve Yzerman.
I'll tell you what, that Detroit system, they always seem like when you think you've run the well dry, with those older players, they seem to be able to milk a little bit more out of those guys every single year. It's just something where you go into Detroit and it's that tradition of going on. You don't want to let anyone down. You just seem to get the most out of guys when you think they're down and out, and they continue to contribute. Brad Richards just does it again. In Minnesota tonight, the Wild, it was a 0-0 game for a long time. And then Ryan Sutter had a goal and two assists. And Devin Dubnyk made 23 saves for the shutout for the Wild.
Well, shutout. Dallas Stars also get a shutout. Antti Niemi made 22 saves, as our good friend Neil Smith would say. What does Uncle Niemi think? Neil told that joke about 8,000 times. I'm going to miss Neil. He's there at the NHL Network. Jamie Benn scored twice. He had two of the three goals. Gives him a league-leading 14 goals. So the Dallas Stars shut out the Buffalo Sabres 3-0. Five straight wins for the Dallas Stars. They cannot beat the nagging Toronto Maple Leaf team. Let's take a look at that game going on now. Chicago-Vancouver. I think that's the only one still going on, isn't it? Yep. So let's see. 2-2 in the second period. Jonathan Toews and Ryan Garbutt for the Chicago Blackhawks. Henrik Sedin, Yannick Hansen for the Vancouver Canucks. I think Hansen took a shot in the head as well, so he must have come back to play. It looked like he took an ugly slap shot. Mm-hmm.
You'll be all right. You know what? I keep looking back at that Dallas team, Gord. Like, there is so much offense on that team. Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin, I'm telling you, we talk about Patrick Kane, but I can see these two guys really starting to put it together and just pile up points after points every single night. And it wouldn't surprise me if those guys finish 1-2 in the league this year.
Well, I know our producer, Matt Brown's got a lot of guests lined up, so we'll take the break and we'll come back and we're going to chat some Boston Bruin talk with Joe Haggerty. And get some Toronto Maple Leaf talk as well. Got good size now, so don't break or do break? Don't break. Okay. We'll get Mike Zeisberger as well. So we'll connect with somebody in Boston just having some cell phone issues and hopefully talk about that game. So 10 other games in the out-of-town scores as we talked a little bit earlier. All kinds of shutouts going on, including the one in Boston tonight. Mike Zeisberger joining us on Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick, Todd Alusco. Zeiss, I like the way you painted the Zdeno Chara coming in to James Reimer. It was great theater to try to get a reaction out of him. He seemed pretty nonplussed about things, but that's a pretty impressive shot. People forget that he can wire it hard.
Yeah, I still think, and thanks for having me on, guys. I still think that he has the hardest shot, still does he not, in the part of shot competition. The thing that got me was the fact that, you know, the Leafs, who, you know, they gave up a lot of chances, but I thought they worked pretty hard. But the one guy that you couldn't let walk into the faceoff dot and wind up like that was the guy that they did. And, you know, after a scrum kind of dissipated, I was talking to Reimer and I said, you know, do you really think that you should have had that? And he goes, well, yeah. I said, well, can you actually see it? Well, not really, he goes, but you can hardly see a lot of them. And that's the way that James Reimer has become, guys. You know, he's got so much confidence now. He thinks he could have stopped that shot. And, you know, when, you know, how many times have we heard in the past, whether it was him or Bernier, they say, oh, it was a bad bounce or, you know, I was unlucky. And then you got Chara, like, unleashing bazooka like that, and he thinks he should have it. And that just shows you what a zone James Reimer is in right now. And I really think, guys, the key to these back-to-back games is, as well as James Reimer played, the Leafs scored one goal in regulation time in 125 minutes, including overtime last night. So, you know, I think that they got the goaltending that could have given them a sweep of these back-to-back games, but there just wasn't enough offense.
Well, yeah, and they didn't have enough. You know, it would have been nice to see a couple more power play chances tonight. I know that Mike Babcock is saying we have to find a way to create more offense. We have to get more goals. And, I mean, Mike, when you only give up, you know, if you only have one power play against the worst power play unit in the league tonight, it's definitely going to be a tough time to score goals when you're having a tough time scoring 5-on-5.
Yeah, but Todd, Sean Matthias had three breakaways.
Well, I realize that. I know. And we touched on that. I mean, I'm sure he feels worse than anyone. But with that being said, here's a guy that was having a tough time getting his offense going. Well, we said the same thing about Nazem Kadri. All of a sudden now he's getting the opportunity. So you can go one way or the other, but you can say, okay, Sean Matthias is going to be a part of this offense. But at least now he's getting some opportunities. We saw it tonight. And I'm sure he'd be the first to say, man, I wish I would have buried one of them.
One thing I wanted to bring up with you guys, and we've talked about this a lot in our chats over the last few weeks, is, you know, because we see the Leafs a lot, we talk about structure and Mike Babcock's fingerprints on the team. But, you know, when you're around the team more, you know, sometimes you don't get that perspective where you can take a step back. Well, talking to Zdeno Chara after the game, after his scrum kind of dissipated, He told me that he can really see a difference in these Leafs. In the, you know, we use this word a lot, but in the structure, in the way that they play, they're not, he didn't use this term, but he kind of insinuated it. They're not loosey-goosey. They play in their lanes. They're very hardworking. And he says you can definitely see the improvement in that team. And, I mean, listen, Zdeno Chara has seen a lot of the Leafs, I mean, over the years. Gordy, we can go back to when he ragdolled Brian McCabe when he was
that's
a member
right.
of the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, I think that, you know, you should take that to heart. I mean, that's just not, you know, he's not just saying that because he sees he's talking to Toronto Reporter. I think that, you know, and it's not the first time I've heard it, that, you know, we can talk about how much talent or how little talent the Leafs have, but slowly but surely we're seeing the momentum build of Mike Babcock's fingerprints being on this team.
Well, I think we discussed my theory last time just about looking at it, was that Randy Carlyle wanted to do the same system. He's getting a little maligned now by some callers and that, but Randy Carlyle won a Stanley Cup. He actually won it in a place that Mike Babcock couldn't win it, that being Anaheim. And Randy subscribes to the defensive style, but at the lockout season, things went so well and so well offensively that I think he just decided to let him go with it. And then when he tried to change the system, they weren't going to buy in it. Then into it, the Peter Horacek, it was even a bigger failure. So this year they know with Mike Babcock that, okay, no, this is the way we're going to play. They did it. And then they start getting a few goals because some of the guys that can score started to.
Well, and the other thing, Gordon, I you know, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I truly believe the other thing that Mike Babcock has going for him, number one, there's only one player who makes more money per season than Mike Babcock, and that's Dion Phaneuf. And number two, Mike Babcock has an 8-year contract, okay? So, you know, especially last year with Randy Carlyle, we all knew that he was a lame duck coach in the extent that, you know, the team let his assistant coaches go. They let Dave Nonis's lieutenants go, but they kept those guys in there. You know, they kind of hung those guys out to dry. With Mike Babcock, look at, with his salary and the tenure of his contract, look, you either do it his way or you hit the highway. And so you buy in or you hit the road. And I, you know, I'm not saying that that's the chief motivation, but I've got to think that that's got to be part of it. I mean, you know, because we all know players might be going somewhere. Mike Babcock's not going anywhere for a while.
Not a little bit of the motive. That's exactly what it is, Mike. That's 100%. You're sitting there as a player and you've got a coach that's sitting there that's got this massive contract with term. He's not going anywhere. They made a commitment to him, and that's why you don't buy in, and you're gonna find yourself on the bench, or you're gonna find yourself traded, you're gonna be somewhere else. So I think you're bang on with that, and I think that's exactly what's going on.
Well, and as a player, think about it. Last year, at the beginning of the year, when we go through all this salute gate and that, and Randy Carlyle, even if he scolds you in the dressing room, and you're looking, going, how long is this guy gonna be around? I mean, you know, they fired his assistant coaches. He has no say in anything. So, you know, I don't really, you know, I just thought that the way that things were structured last year heading into last season, they were doomed to fail. And the fact that they were in sixth place when Randy got fired, you know, we all know how the wheels fell off after that. But obviously this is a new regime. And, you know, the other thing I want to bring up, not to change the topic, but to get back to Reimer, here's an interesting stat that was produced today. In the last 24 periods, James Reimer has not allowed more than one goal in any period. You want to talk about consistency? I don't think you can get more consistent than that.
Yeah, it's over eight games, eight complete games. That's,
yeah, there's only two other goalies. I think Jonathan Quick was one of them that's done the same thing, and maybe I want to say Pekka Rene, maybe. I think those are the three guys. That's pretty good company to be. Oh, I'm sorry, Henrik Lundqvist. That's pretty good company to be captain for James Reimer.
Very much so, and I would argue that, you know, as the Leafs may have improved their play, but they don't have the five defensemen of the Rangers in front of them. He doesn't have the five Ranger defensemen in front of him, and he certainly doesn't have Drew Doughty in front of him.
Mike, me and Gord were talking about this off air. Is this something that's sustainable for James Reimer for all of the things that you just said?
I think at some point he's got to get a break, just because, you know, I mean, there have been injury issues in the past, and, you know, I just think that unless you're a Jonathan Quick and or a Henrik Lundqvist, and you've built that kind of endurance up over a number of seasons, that you have to be careful. We know that Reimer has had a history of injuries, and at some point you're going to have to spot Jonathan Bernier in there. But you have to wonder about Bernier too, guys, because right now I can't think that his confidence can be too high. And especially if that game in New York, not only does he let in a goal from the neutral zone, but then the winning goal comes when he lets a big, fat, juicy rebound out that there's no way that should be like tailored back into the slot the way that it was. And, you know, it's funny because when Jonathan Bernier first came to the Leafs, one of the things that we talked about him having as a positive, as a strength, is the fact that the way that he could swallow up pucks and not give up rebounds. And now it seems that, and rebound control seemed to be Reimer's problem. And now I would argue that it's juxtaposed itself, that, you know, it's Bernie that has more of the rebound problem than Reimer. And I think it all comes back to confidence.
Yeah, now, just being around the team, that intangible, I'm curious, like, if you want to call it or whatever you want to call it. I mean, to me, Salukay just, then the next day when they lied about it and just dug a deeper hole, it just spoke a lot about certain guys following the lead of guys that weren't leaders. Is there just a better, more mature deportment around, doesn't have to be buddy-buddy with anybody or anything like that, but is there more of that just in the day-to-day dealing with the players this year, or is it pretty well the same?
No, I think it is better, but I think, you know, we always talk about leaders being players, okay? And I think this goes back to the point that we were talking about before. I think Mike Babcock has become the leader of this team in that respect. And, you know, player-wise, it was interesting. I had somebody in the Boston Bruins dressing room today talk about the fact of Brad Boies. And, you know, we don't talk about Brad a lot. Obviously, he came in on a tryout contract. Who knows if he's going to be around next season? I mean, he really hasn't been played a large role. But this player on the Bruins said he thought that it was very, very shrewd of the Leafs to bring a guy like Brad Boies in, because what is Brad Boies? Brad Boies, anybody that knows him, he is a consummate professional. He will never, ever stir things up. He's a Toronto kid. He understands the spotlight. I mean, you know, some people, you remember when they drafted him in the first round, he was going to be the second coming of the next superstar. And so he's learned how to deal with these things. And that's what this Bruins player told me. He said, you know, by bringing in Brad Boies, you're bringing in guys with a sense of professionalism. And some of the young guys can feed off that. Just because Brad Boies doesn't play a lot doesn't mean that, you know, he isn't a guy that they go out to dinner with, that they talk to on the team bus. And so there's a lot of little things that maybe behind the scenes the average fan doesn't see. But, yeah, there's a totally different vibe around the team. And, you know, it starts with Babcock, but obviously some of the other smaller pieces that are in there play a role as well.
Hey, Mike, one last question before we let you go. You know, what is it about this Boston Bruins, just the organization in general, when you go in as a visiting team, you know that you're going to be leaving with ice packs on your body? I mean, the guys that are gone are Sean Thornton, Daniel Pyway, Gregory Campbell, Milan Lucic. They bring in a guy like Zach Rinaldo and other guys, but it continues. Every time you go into that barn, it is an absolute physical beating that they put on you all the time. It just seems like it's embedded in anyone who puts on a Boston Bruin jersey. And tonight, they seem to be extremely physical again with the Leafs tonight. What is it about that barn?
You know what? I don't know, but I mean, you look at the bloodlines of the players that have been there and what people think is a consummate Boston Bruin. I mean, I go back to, you know, Terry O'Reilly, Stan Jonathan, John Wensink, and then you go into Cam Neely, and then you go into Milan Lucic. And, you know, that's the type of thing that people here thrive on. It's great to be, you know, be the great skilled players, but people here seem to really embrace kind of players with sandpaper, Wendell Clark type players. Wendell Clark, you know, it would have been weird to see him in a Boston Bruins uniform, but he had the makeup that, you know, he would have fit in well as a Boston Bruin. Now, I would tell you this, the Bruins coming into today, their home record was something like 3-6. They had not played well, but you kind of got the feeling like right from the get-go that with the Leafs being in town, with it being a hockey night in Canada game, the crowd was really pumped up. And it was a really exciting game. And you just, it was a totally different vibe. You know, like last night, you know, I love the game of hockey, but that could have been the equivalent of seeing paint dry in Carolina. And tonight, even though both games were 0-0 after two, tonight to be in the building was awesome. It was really, really cool. Almost had a playoff type atmosphere. And hey, guys, that's amazing considering that they couldn't even chant "Thank you, Kessel" tonight because he wasn't in the building.
Yeah, we got to thank some of those small things we give thanks for. Hey, Mike, look forward to your coverage in the Toronto Sun. Thanks very much for hopping on. We'll talk to you back in Toronto.
Okay, guys, enjoy the game Monday night, and thanks again for having me.
Mike Zeisberg of the Toronto Sun joining us. We'll get Joe Haggerty, get the Boston point of view when we return. It was 2-0. The Boston Bruins beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Looking for an out. Outlet does. Gets it to the point. Far side. Chara closing in. Scores!
That was the difference maker tonight. Zdeno Chara under 4 minutes left to winding up putting that shot behind James Reimer. The Boston Bruins did add an empty net goal later on, but that was all she wrote. A 2-0 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Joe Haggerty's going to join us in about a minute or two from Boston way, so we'll get his take about what is going on with the Boston Bruins. And Todd, the Leafs get to play this very Boston Bruin team again on Monday, much like Montreal or the New York Islanders get to play Montreal again tomorrow after losing to them last night.
And I think the guys are pretty excited about that. It was a great game tonight. They get to come back to Toronto. And they get to try to return the favor to the Bruins. I mean, this is a good hockey team. The measuring stick keeps on going up and up. This Boston Bruin team is a good hockey team. Get them back to Toronto and try to return the favor and, you know, get within striking distance again of the Bruins.
Joe Haggerty, of course, covers the Boston Bruins and the National Hockey League out Boston way. He joins Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, what's happening tonight, my friend?
Well, you know, we weren't there to see it. We got to watch it. Now, first of all, we talked to Mike Zeisberg. He was impressed. He thought it had real bite, a little playoff atmosphere there tonight. Did you share that sentiment?
Yeah, there was. There was some good energy going on between both teams. It was funny. Afterwards, the Bruins said that they had talked going into the game about treating it almost like a playoff, given that it was a home and home, and that this is a team that's right behind them in the standings, and that's mentally how they wanted to prepare themselves for the game. So, and it definitely felt like that on the ice. There was some intensity. There was a little bit of nastiness. There was some good chances for both sides, some awesome goaltending, and just a really crisp, well-played game.
Joe, what's your detail, your idea of this Toronto, the makeup of this Toronto Maple Leafs club? Like, when you look at them now, you've seen them play before. I love asking this question to all the reporters and guys from out of town that they get to see the Leafs on occasion. You've seen them now, first time this year. What do you think is a difference this year than from past Maple Leaf teams?
Well, I like how they're playing. They play very disciplined for Babcock. You can see what they're doing in the defensive zone tonight. They were, protecting the net, really collapsing down, not allowing many shots around the net at all, and certainly not many quality chances. You could see just the way they were approaching things from a penalty discipline standpoint also, that they were very disciplined and that, they weren't getting lazy and they weren't doing things that they weren't supposed to, and just sort of getting wild and undisciplined in certain situations. And, they played a very Mike Babcock-type game. It was impressive to me because it says that they're already buying into what he's selling and they're doing exactly what he wants to do. And, even a guy like Dion Phaneuf, who I've never really been a big fan of, I thought he was perfectly fine tonight. And, he looked much more comfortable playing in the system that Babcock has installed. And, there were times under Randy Carlyle and in previous seasons when you watched them and you thought you were watching a pretty decent team and certainly a team that was playing hard. But both the adherence to the system and just the discipline in general that they were playing with tonight, I found to be very impressive.
Now, I'm not here to pile on or bury a guy, but you get to look now in retrospect in two places, and he was in Toronto a lot more than Boston. But, what is a Phil Kessel as far as weighing what he can do on the ice, which is considerable, and then off the ice, which is debatable?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that, like, if you put him in a vacuum, he's going to put up numbers, he's going to put up points. Like, if you're looking for offense, you would think he's going to be the answer. And certainly, he has the numbers at the end of the year, but I just never found him to be a very dependable guy. I certainly didn't find him to be a guy that if he's going to be one of your highest paid players on the team, that's really going to be one of your leaders and one of the guys that's going to set the tone for everybody else and that's going to bring it every single night. And, you know, in this day and age with the salary cap, I think you need your best players to consistently bring it every single night. And, you know, even when the shots aren't falling, to do something else and to also, you know, lead by example. And I just thought Kessel was a guy that would, you know, go nuts for 15 games. It would show you a lot, would put up some points, and then would disappear for a while. And, you know, that's fine, I guess, if it's one of the guys that you're not paying a lot of money to and a guy that's on your third line and a guy that you can, you know, just enjoy the booms when they happen and ride through the busts. But when you're a guy like Kessel where a lot of responsibility and a big role is foisted upon you, I think you need to respond a little more consistently than he did. And, you know, when you have a player like that as one of your lead guys, I think it filters down to everybody else. I think they're a better team without him, frankly.
Joe, we in Toronto here, we've been waiting for, you know, one of the goaltenders to just take the ball and just run with it. And obviously James Reimer has done that. And in Boston, obviously you've – not that Tuukka Rask has had any tough games or you know, not – hasn't been – inconsistent. He's had some good games. Seems to play really well. Seems to have, you know, maybe an off game. But right now, with a game like this tonight, where he gets a shutout, he stops Sean Matthias, three breakaway chances. Is this the type of game that Tuukka Rask needed to just get on a consistent basis and start stringing some wins together for this Boston Bruins Hockey Club?
Yeah, I think this is important to him. And, you know, you could see it coming a little bit. The last couple of weeks, he was having some pretty good games, but he was also he and the defense in front of him were still having some breakdown games. And, you know, a couple of games ago, Tuesday night, they lost to the San Jose Sharks. And Claude Julien really tore into the team afterwards, just saying that they were lacking the full commitment and, you know, that they weren't working hard enough and just really questioning the effort and the commitment and what they were putting into the game on the ice. And Tuukka Rask was very vocal about it afterwards, and so was Brad Marchand, talking about passengers and that they can't have them at this point with the team that they have. And, you know, since then they've responded across the board, and Tuukka Rask certainly responded to his challenge to his teammates and to himself with that game tonight. And, you know, the Matthias saves were huge early, and those are the kind of saves he hasn't been making early in the season. Where he lets in one of those goals on a breakdown, especially if the team is playing well, they have one breakdown, you let the goal in and it completely deflates them and changes the momentum of the game. And that happened a few too many times this year with a defense that's still making mistakes for the Bruins. So, you know, he stood tall tonight. He made the key saves early in the game, allowed it to be a 0-0 game, and then allowed them the opportunity to win it late with that Zdeno Chara goal. And, you know, his numbers are atrocious right now. He hasn't been as bad as his numbers. The defense in front of them has been awful. I thought this was their best game tonight by far, but it's been more of a reflection of the bad defense than him. But, you know, he hasn't been great either, and tonight was a good sign that he's going to start feeling it a little more himself.
Just got about a minute left. I'm curious, of all the moves in hindsight, who's the guy that you miss the most? Do you think there's a move that either Peter Chiarelli or Sweeney would take back?
Yeah, you know, I still think it's the like, take your pick between the two defensemen, Dougie and Johnny Boychuk. I personally think it's with Johnny Boychuk that they missed the most from making that move a couple of years ago, right before last season started. You know, he's a heart and soul guy. He was a leader in the dressing room. He was tough as nails on the ice. He really set the tone physically, and he's proven in New York that he's a number one defenseman and they can play in all situations. And, you know, he's right in the prime of his career as a top pair, top four guy right now. And they miss a guy like that. You know, in spots, they're too old with guys like Seidenberg and Chara. And in other spots, they're asking guys like Krug and Miller and McQuaid to play top four roles when they're really not suited for it. So I think trading the two top four defensemen in Dougie and Boychuk and not replacing either one of them with a legit candidate to replace them has hurt them immensely this year. And you can see it in the amount of goals that they're giving up on a nightly basis.
Well, look forward to seeing the Boston Bruins again on Monday. Joe, thanks for making time. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Joe Haggerty joining us from Boston Way. And, yes, we will be there Monday at Air Canada Center, bringing you all the action right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Todd, another pretty good back-to-back, 2 points out of 4, and it's a very different Toronto Maple Leaf team.
Yeah, they've every night they've got a chance to win right now, and I don't expect anything less when the ACC gets rocking on Monday night. I mean, you get Boston back. Toronto's going out, is going to want to pay this loss back with a victory of their own back of the ACC. I'm anticipating a solid game by the Toronto Maple Leafs and another solid performance, hopefully, by James Reimer in goal.
We had one tonight, though, in a losing cause. The Boston Bruins 2-0 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs. The second goal was an empty netter. So, as you know, you've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll catch you Monday from Air Canada Center. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.